And go to Monday evening, Philadelphia. I'm Matt Lombardo, broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We can easily sit here and look back on yesterday's disheartening, disappointing, and largely disinterested effort from the Eagles in a 32-14 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. But as I said last night on the show, that caps the season. The season ended last night, and this locker room that essentially quit on Andy Reid at the end of his regime certainly and undoubtedly quit on Chip Kelly last year right around Thanksgiving, quit on Doug Peterson yesterday, about 6 days after Doug Peterson quit on this year by saying that it is all about evaluating the players for 2017 and challenging people whether or not they want to have their jobs on this team moving forward. But today, the aftermath and the day after press conference was one of the more puzzling things I've ever seen. It was one of the more quizzical press conferences I've ever witnessed based on how Doug Peterson handled a pair of questions about the effort that he received from his team yesterday in that terrible loss where they played undisciplined and uninterested football, and he contradicted himself. And it almost sounded to me as if he didn't know which end was up. He didn't know which way was right. But I will say this, that when Doug Peterson, or any head coach in the NFL for that matter, starts throwing his players under the bus, criticizing their effort, and saying that they did not give maximum effort yesterday, you don't come back from that. Those are the things that turn a locker room against you. And there are a lot of factors in how we got here. You look at the regression of Carson Wentz. You look at the mechanical issues in his footwork in the pocket, him forcing balls over the middle where he largely has not been accurate, sailing passes over wide receivers' heads, telegraphing throws. It all came home to roost yesterday. He was picked off 3 times. It should have been 5 interceptions at least, had it not been for drop passes by Bengals defenders. And we can point to Carson Wentz's struggles, and we can try to analyze why they have started to show themselves, but you can't ignore the fact that Doug Peterson is the head coach. And all we heard about for Doug Peterson being hired, especially from the moment the Eagles elected to go up and get Carson Wentz, was how valuable it is that Doug Peterson played quarterback in the NFL. That Frank Reich, his offensive coordinator, played quarterback in the NFL. That John DeFilippo, the quarterback coach, played quarterback at a high level in college. That this was supposed to be a quarterback's dream coming out of college, and it hasn't worked out. And I tweeted this yesterday right before coming on the air after watching this game. You can follow me at MattLombardo975. But this was the first time where I questioned whether or not Doug Peterson should be entrusted to oversee the development of Carson Wentz. And I'll say this, categorically, I do not believe Doug Peterson is on the hot seat. I don't believe that his job is in any sort of jeopardy. But what I do believe is this is a head coach 6 years removed from being a quality control assistant who's in way over his head as a head coach in the National Football League. And I look no further than what I heard today when he was discussing effort. And the first cut, Devon, if we have it, about Doug saying that he didn't see anybody quit out there. It seems as if he was only talking about the scope of the fourth quarter and overcoming a 29-0 deficit, but here's Doug.
I didn't see any quitting the guys. I mean, we battled back, we scored 2 touchdowns, had opportunities on a couple more drives to score. Defense was creating turnovers in the second half. I mean, we had a kickoff return. I mean, everybody was doing everything we could to get ourselves back into that football game.
See, that's what an experienced head coach says. An experienced head coach says that, you know, the effort was unquestionable. We did everything we could to get back in the football game. We had a big return. Defense was creating turnovers. But not 5 minutes later, Doug said this.
Not everybody. Not everybody. And that's the accountability that I talk about. And, you know, I hold coaches accountable for that. I hold myself accountable for that because it all starts with me, and I make sure that tonight, and I pride myself each week to make sure the guys are ready to go. But at the same time, it comes down to, you know, it's a mentality by each individual player. And, you know, this is a business where we have to be ready to go every single weekend, because every team in the league, I mean, there's some teams that are better than others, obviously, but for the most part, anything can happen each weekend.
And that's where you're going to start to lose players. That's where players are just going to fold up the tent on the year. And I already saw signs of this in the locker room last week. You already saw glimpses of a team that was wiping its hands of the season because the head coach wiped his hands of the season after they lost to the Packers. I don't think there's any coming back from what we saw yesterday. I think the Eagles actually lose all four of their remaining games. I don't think they should be considered favorites in any of those games. And I don't even know that they'd be able to beat a Cowboy team quarterbacked by Mark Sanchez with Cole Beasley as the number one wide receiver and Alfred Morris as the number one running back. I think that this thing is over, and I think it's going to get worse from here. But the question I have for you tonight at 610-632-0975 is, who deserves the accountability? Because Doug can talk all he wants about evaluating players, talk all he wants about holding players accountable in that room. But at the end of the day, somebody needs to hold him accountable. Somebody needs to hold Jim Schwartz accountable. And if you had missed this from his press conference yesterday and what was talked about today, this is now the second time this year where Doug Peterson has come out and flat said that he's going to meet with Jim Schwartz and they're going to discuss blitzing more. Think back to the week before the Minnesota game. They got no pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. Doug says, we need to sit down and we need to evaluate that. I will visit with Jim. What happens? They blitzed at a higher rate percentage of plays than they had any other time all year. Then they sacked Sam Bradford five times. They have five sacks since. So you look at what they did the last time that they met. You look at the wheels falling off in the secondary since they met. You look at the players that Jim Schwartz brought along from Buffalo, whether it was Leotis McKelvin, whether it was Ron Brooks, whether it was Nigel Bradham, only one of which being effective this year. Eventually, somebody needs to hold Jim Schwartz accountable. And while I in no way, shape, or form have any indication that Doug Peterson's seat is even warm enough to melt an ice cube, I don't believe he's going anywhere. I do believe that at the end of the year, if this thing continues to deteriorate, there should be an honest-to-goodness conversation about Jim Schwartz's future here as the defensive coordinator. You can't go firing coaches willy-nilly, even though I do not believe that he should be trusted with the long-term development of Carson Wentz. I understand why you need continuity for a rookie quarterback going into his second year. But I don't have that same caveat when it comes to defensive coordinators, not when the $61 million defensive tackle has been an invisible man. Not since Brandon Graham hasn't been the same player in about 5 or 6 weeks. Not since Vinnie Curry might or might not still be on this football team, who can tell by his lack of production. And not when this secondary has become a sieve before our very eyes. So in my opinion, Jim Schwartz should be held to the fire at year's end. 610-632-0975. Rob in West Philly leads off. Rob, you're on the Fanatic. Hey, Rob. Yo, Rob.
Hey.
What's happening, Robert? How are you?
I'm wonderful. Listen, here's the wonderful thing. I think we should fire the coordinator, because here's the wonderful thing. Number one, it's Carson Wentz's first year. And then Glenn Doug Peterson's first year. And Fletcher Cox, he's out there trying. They have you go on the Facebook page and it said, which one we should fire. I'm on your Facebook page. You said, which one we should fire.
Okay.
Carson Wentz or the coach or Cox or the coordinator. So I'll put in my input is we should fire the coordinator. You know? And that's all. And how about them Flyers? How about them Flyers?
Hey, how about them Flyers? Five straight. Keith on the cell. Hey, Keith, you're on the Fanatic.
All right. First of all, anybody that thought this team was making the playoffs was snorting something, okay? I know it was 3-0. They didn't play anybody.
Well, if you remember after the Detroit Lion game, I tried my best to put the kibosh on that talk. I said after they lost to the Lions that should not be considered an elite team or a playoff contender and that they weren't ready to compete at that level. So I have not been thinking playoffs for close to 2 months.
Well, I'm telling you that the Detroit loss turns out to be not the one to worry about. They're in first place. It's pretty obvious that Pittsburgh was defensively challenged, and it's pretty obvious that the Eagles now, since you've entrusted Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman, it is their job now to go out and get this kid some weapons. He's the real deal. There's no question in my mind he's their franchise quarterback, and there's no question in my mind that none of this falls on his shoulders.
Well, I understand why you can still be optimistic about Carson Wentz, but I also think that you can concede that there's a possibility that 3-0 was a byproduct of defensive coordinators only having 35 preseason snaps to study from. They're throwing him different looks. They're forcing him into mistakes, and his mechanics have not improved. They have regressed. His throwing motion has changed. He's developed happy feet in the pocket. He stares down wide receivers. He sails passes over their heads. He forces the ball into traffic. He wasn't doing that at 3-0.
Okay, and I thoroughly disagree with you. The problem is he has nobody to throw to.
But nobody's saying that he's a problem. But you can say that the quarterback is not playing well. You can say that from a fundamental or a mechanical standpoint that the quarterback has regressed without pointing to him as a problem. We all know this team has problems. We all know the inherent flaw is that they are under-talented almost across the board at virtually every position on both sides of the ball. Save for quarterback, save for right tackle when Lane Johnson is playing, save for maybe linebacker. This team is under-talented and devoid of talent across the board. But those problems don't negate the issues that have shown themselves when it comes to Carson Wentz's development, or in this case, his regression. Go watch the tape against Cleveland, against Chicago, or against Pittsburgh, and then pop in yesterday. The throwing motion is more elongated now. Watch his footwork in the pocket. He's dancing around back there more now. Watch how often he throws the ball into double and triple coverage in September versus how many times he does it now. I get it that he has nobody to throw to. I understand that he doesn't have a wide receiving core that is even worthy of being called an NFL receiving core. I get all that. But it doesn't excuse and it doesn't change the fact that mechanically he's just off right now. And last I checked, it's still okay. It's still permissible to criticize the play of the quarterback without labeling him as one of the problems. Maybe I'm wrong, but from where I come from, that's just called analysis. Brian on a cell. Hey, Brian, you're on the Fanatic.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening, Brian?
Okay, number one, you guys overpaid Fletcher Cox, and once he got his money, it seemed like, you know, he's not really interested in being a dominant defensive lineman like he was before he got the money. Would you agree?
He has not played like that for a majority of the stretch of this season. I'll agree with that. And whether it comes down to the money, whether it comes down to him not being schemed, I don't know what the reason is, but he has not played well this year.
Yeah, absolutely right. And two more points. Second point is Howie Roseman. I mean, in the offseason prior leading up to this year, it was a bunch of, what's Howie going to do? Then you guys move up in the draft, and Howie's like baby Jesus, and now everything's kind of falling, you know, unfolding, and it's kind of like, oh, Howie's the problem again. So Howie's got to step up and make some good moves.
Well, it's got to be Howie. It's got to be Joe Douglas, who they hired away from the Baltimore Ravens. It's got to be the entire front office. The tone and tenor of the way this organization operates needs to change. This can no longer be the franchise that chases overpriced free agent talent. This can no longer be the franchise that brings back a 30-year-old DeSean Jackson. This has to become the franchise that acquires draft picks, uses the draft picks, and builds a foundation through the draft. Look at all of the failures across the board in free agent signings at wide receiver, at cornerback, along the offensive line, at running back, where they have overpaid for talent and have gotten under-delivered results. Joseph on a cell. Hey, Joseph, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Matt? How you doing?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say real quick, congrats to my Temple Owls taking the American Conference.
There you go.
And I guess kind of congratulations to your Lions, even though I'm not a huge fan being from Temple Owl. But it's still congrats to them for taking the Big Ten. It was a hell of a win.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride for both programs. Penn State set up for a long time to be a perennial top five, top ten contender, and Matt Rhule is building something special over there at Temple. It's a good time to be a Pennsylvania college football fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But real quick, I just wanted to say, in terms of accountability, yeah, I feel like a lot of it, you know, can be on Jim Schwartz. Really, you know, just from the blitzing, and you see the obvious difference in the blitzing. You mentioned that.
Yep.
But I feel like I kind of disagree with you a little bit in terms of Doug Peterson not being on the hot seat. I feel like if this defense keeps playing as bad, which, of course, Jim Schwartz, but this defense keeps playing as bad, as well as the offense, they get throttled the next four games. And I'm specifically worried about Washington. He might not be here next year if it's really bad.
Well, I think they lose to Washington by two scores. I've thought all along the Redskin game was a game that they were going to lose just because they don't match up well, because the Redskins can run the football and Kirk Cousins is playing out of his mind over the last 6 or 7 weeks. I thought they could beat the Giants, but after that display by the secondary against Brandon LaFell and some guy named Corey Kerr, do we really think that Nolan Carroll and Leotis McKelvin are going to hold up against Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard with Eli Manning back there? I think that's a stone loss, and I think that Baltimore could be another bloodletting.
I mean, just specifically, I knew that they were going to lose. I mean, hopefully not too bad, but I knew they were going to lose kind of bad to Washington when I watched the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
Even though Washington lost that game, they're flying up and down the field on offense. Kirk Cousins is just tossing the ball like it was nothing for like 30, 40-yard gainers at some point to Deshaun and whatever other effort, whatever.
Crowder, Jamison Crowder. Yeah. I do not like Joseph, and thanks for the call. I do not like that Redskin matchup a little bit. And I think that if we all watched in horror and dismay and disappointment what happened in Cincinnati yesterday, boy, oh boy, is it going to be an excursion down there at Lincoln Financial Field. John and Broomall. Hey, John, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm all right. I think, you know, with the if you really look at Carson Wentz, I think he's the last thing on the list that I can complain about. Doesn't mean he can't, you know, use a little improvement. But if you look at it, when the route is run right and the receiver is open, he's usually hitting them. It's when he's trying to thread it in to receivers that don't get any separation. And I think, you know, the play calling on offense has been, you know, very questionable. And that's what I think is going to be the toughest thing to do.
Sure, I'd love to see more rollouts. I'd love to see them get Wentz throwing on the run, get him moving outside the pocket. I'd love to see that. But we didn't see it yesterday. There has been a lot less of that over the last several weeks. But play calling, supporting cast, whatever other issues or excuses that we want to throw out there, if you just watch on an ISO cam Carson Wentz in the pocket, he just looks like a much different passer today than he did back in September.
And that may be true, but I mean, you know, the kid's played, you know, 10 games. I'm not using it as an excuse, but if you looked at, you know, Aaron Rodgers, if you looked at other quarterbacks, they didn't come out of the chute like superstars right away. This kid has a future here. I'm just worried if the pieces in place are not going to, you know, accentuate his talents.
Yeah.
Do you need to get someone in here that's, like you said, maybe do more rollouts? He's got the tools. He's a great college quarterback that could be a very good pro quarterback. You just need someone who knows how to work him. And I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if that's in place here right now.
And, you know, John, thanks for the call. That's going to be what we need to watch over the course of this entire offseason. I think it comes down to needing to build through the draft and be smart about free agent signings and sign young up-and-coming players, not established star or superstar players. And let's face it, you're going to have to gut a significant portion of the players. Now, they're not contributing, but you look at somebody like Jason Peters, he's not going to be here next year. You look at somebody like Connor Barwin, he's not going to be here next year. You're not bringing back Nolan Carroll. You're probably not bringing back Leotis McKelvin. Those are four jobs you're going to need to replace with cheaper talent. So this is on top of getting a running back, and you're probably not bringing Ryan Matthews back, on top of getting two wide receivers, you're looking at 5, 6, 7 players before this team could be considered a viable threat even to compete for the playoffs. So this isn't going to happen overnight. 610-632-0975. Wide open phone lines will get you right in without a wait. 610-632-0975. Who deserves to be held accountable for what we've seen this season? I believe Jim Schwartz needs to have his feet held to the fire by year's end. And Doug Peterson, he should face a stiff evaluation as well, even though I don't believe it will be prudent to fire him. 610-632-0975. Hey, guys, don't forget, it was another great weekend of football, and I know some of us got in on the action. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? MyBookie.net. If you had the winners this past weekend and you went to MyBookie, then you're probably sitting pretty right now and counting your money like I am. Feels great to know that you put your picks to good use and you took home some cold, hard cash at MyBookie. And we still have the game tonight. It's not over. Indy travels to New York to get in on the action. You got to go to MyBookie. They're the industry-leading website for all of your football action, both college and the NFL. There's really no need to go anywhere else. Why would you go anywhere else other than MyBookie, which is the place to go to make your picks? If you want to put your football knowledge to use and not just circle the teams on an office pool, not just tell your picks to your wife and you guys have a friendly wager back and forth, make your picks by going to MyBookie and you can take home some big wins. You need to go to MyBookie right now, though, because if you've never placed your picks before but want to get in on the action, sign up at MyBookie. It's easy, it's fast, and they have the best customer service around. Go to MyBookie, make your picks, and get ready to take home some big winnings. Call them at 1-844-900-2387 or go online to MyBookie and open up your account, place your picks, and win. It's really that easy. Sign up, create your account, place your picks, and win. Use promo code Matt. That's promo code Matt. Sign up and start winning big today only at MyBookie.
The Flacco family of Conshohocken is celebrating their 90th anniversary with extra discounts and giveaways. Flacco's shoes, clothes, and formal wear is a fourth-generation family-owned business that offers personalized and knowledgeable service for the entire family. Whether it's workwear or sportswear or a tuxedo for that special occasion, Flacco's has it all. Register to win exciting prizes in-store or online at flaccos.com. Flacco's, a perfect fit for 90 years. 110 Fayette Street, Conshohocken, with free parking next door.
It's one thing to have 4 to 5 times the number of engagement ring styles as anybody else. And it's another to have them all available for easygoing shopping in wide-open reach-right-in showcases. At Robbins Delaware Diamonds, we do both of those things. And of course, you don't have to pay me a Philly's 8% sales tax either when you come to Robbins. So let's review. A lot more rings and a much more relaxed way to shop. At Robbins Delaware Diamonds, the engaged ring store.
Robbins rocks! Yeah! Robbins rocks!
Hey, Harry Mays here for Window Nation. It's the annual half-off sale at Window Nation. For a limited time only, get 50% off every style of window. 50% off all windows. That's like buying the front of the house and getting the back for free. It's the sale that only happens once a year. While windows may not be on your mind today, Philadelphia's cold winters could be weeks or even days away. So call now and take advantage of 50% off energy-efficient windows. Every style is half off. You'll save thousands of dollars on energy bills for years to come. Go with the company that has installed over 275,000 windows and is in charge of keeping 55,000 homeowners warm this winter. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Window Nation is a company you can trust. And with windows made locally, you'll have your new windows installed in no time. Call this week and also receive 0% interest for 5 years. Winterize your home today with new windows and pay no interest until 2021. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Tell them Harry sent you.
Honda presents ways to make your holidays even more magical. 1. Stop into the Happy Honda Days sales event and get a great deal on a new Honda, KBB.com's 2016 Best Value brand. Or 2. Delivering all your gifts by drone this year.
Here comes your present, honey.
Surprise!
Oh, boy. Well, with the first option, you get loads of festive features like Bluetooth streaming audio and standard rearview camera. Or we can offer you a third option. Deck out your house with industrial-powered holiday lights.
Here goes nothing.
It's so beautiful. Buzzkill, Dad.
There's nothing quite as magical as getting great deals on a Honda at the Happy Honda Days sales event. So hurry into your Honda dealer now.
Hurry to your local Delaware Valley Honda dealer for great deals on all models.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from KBB.com's Best Value brand, visit KBB.com for more information. See dealer for financing details.
As a pro, every job matters. And I know that I could always trust Lowe's to help me get the job done right. With brands I can count on like Bostitch, I spend less time shopping around and more time getting the work done.
Right now at Lowe's, pro customers can get 15% off all Bostitch SmartPoint pneumatic nailers. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or lowesforpros.com for details. Valid December 5th through December 12th, U.S. only.
You heard it at the holiday party. A cough. A big, loud, juicy cough. Then Cheryl coughed all over the luncheon. Who else saw that? Apparently no one, because one by one they're a feverish mess. But when it comes your way, you're ready, because you got a flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they spend their holiday sniffling at Santa, you'll be tasting every flavor in Grandma's stuffing. It's not too late. Shield yourself with a flu shot from Rite Aid. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Have you heard about DirecTV Now from AT&T? I've been playing around with it while I've been traveling on the road, and I love it. I don't like rules, and DirecTV Now is rules-free TV. Start streaming live TV right to your tablet or smartphone. Best part? No hardware installation or annual contract. Check it out on DirecTVNow.com and take advantage of the 7-day free trial.
After free trial, auto billed at minimum $35 per month unless you cancel. Pricing subject to change. New subscribers only. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Coverage and service not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. See DirecTVNow.com for details.
The Home Depot is ratcheting up savings on last-minute gift ideas, like a Husky 60-piece mechanics tool set for just $59.97. You save $20. This complete set of tools is thoughtful, practical, and with Husky's lifetime guarantee, makes a lasting impression that lasts a lifetime. They'll be getting stuff done forever with the Husky 60-piece mechanics tool set for only $59.97. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid until January 29th, U.S. only.
Did you know slow internet can actually hold your business back? Say goodbye to slow downloads, slow backups, slow everything. Comcast Business offers blazing fast and reliable internet that's 10 times faster than slow internet from the phone company. Say hello to fast internet speeds up to 150 megabits per second. Plus, did you know that in addition to fast internet, you can also add TV and phone for your business for just an additional $34.90 a month? Comcast Business TV helps keep your employees informed. And you get full-featured phone service with unlimited local and long-distance calls. And did you know all this is only a phone call away? Call 800-501-6000. Comcast Business. Built for business.
Offer ends 12/21/16. Restrictions apply. Limited one voice line and private view TV for new customers. 2-year contract required. Requires Comcast Business Internet and an additional monthly charge. Equipment taxes and fees extra. Compares Comcast 150 megabits per second and 15 megabits per second DSL downloads.
On 97.5 The Fanatic, I'm Matt Lombardo here with you until 7. Devon Givens doing yeoman's work behind the glass as always. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter. I'm at Matt Lombardo 975. He's Devon G 975. 610-632-0975. We go right back out to the phones. We check in with Jeff in Lancaster. Hey, Jeff, you're on The Fanatic.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. First of all, I know you're asking who should we hold accountable. And before I get into this, look, I know they can't get rid of the owner. I'm aware of that. But we laugh all the time about, oh, Dallas is never going to win anything with Jerry Jones as the manager or the owner. I mean, I think we should start saying that in this city. I mean, at what point, again,
you wouldn't be the first to say it.
Yeah, I mean, the owner's the owner, and obviously we're not going to, he's not going anywhere. But, I mean, we got to look at the Doug Peterson. I mean, it's not like anyone else wanted this guy. Jason made a good point on the show before you. I mean, it's not like people were lining up to interview Doug Peterson.
The only interview that he took was with the Eagles. So right. That tells you everything you need to know.
Right, and I do have a point on Penn State in a minute, but, you know, also we have to look at these receivers. Again, I mean, last year it was the same story with these guys. I mean, they were going to take some magic elixir and they were going to be able to catch the ball all of a sudden. I mean, and no offense, I don't think it's going to get fixed that quickly because the market for receivers is not really out there.
Right.
Matt, you would agree. This is probably, maybe other than the Jacksonville Jaguars maybe or the 49ers, this might be the worst offense in the league. I mean, they can't move the football at all.
No, I'll be interested to see what happens this week when Jordan Matthews comes back and Ryan Matthews comes back and you get two of your weapons back. The last two games, admittedly, it was a skeleton crew, but you're getting your two of your best offensive weapons back and healthy. So this is the litmus test for me, but I think they're going to fail it. What do you have on Penn State?
Yeah, real quick, it really is tough when you're worried about getting Bryce Treggs and Paul Turner playing time. But my Penn State, I want to preface this and say I'm not a Penn State fan. I'm a college football guy. I enjoy the sport. But it wasn't the BCS. It was a whole mishigas of things. We weren't getting the best teams in, and it was – whatever. I mean, it's seemingly harder now with this college football playoff. Washington did not deserve to get into the playoff.
No.
I mean, you played Portland State, Idaho, and Rutgers. Three of the two, one, team not even in Division One, and the two other teams. I mean,
Jeff, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, if you heard me on the show last night, but my thought is that if I'm Sandy Barber and I'm the athletic director at Penn State, there's no onus to play Pitt next year. Cancel the Pitt game, play Lehigh, get your win, because what the committee did is they single-handedly devalued the regular season, they devalued strength of schedule, they devalued head-to-head, and they devalued conference championships. Washington has no business being in there over a Penn State team that has two wins over top six opponents, beat Ohio State head-to-head, and won the toughest conference and the toughest division in football. Now, because they didn't play Portland State out of conference, they should be punished for that? Come on. 610-632-0975. Rob on a cell. Hey, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. How are you?
You just made a lot of the points that I was going to make about Penn State. Well, first, I'm a huge Penn State fan. I didn't even go there, but I just grew up with it, with Joe Pa.
That's all right. I'm a season ticket holder. My wife's going for her second master's, and majority of my family went there, so we can both be honorary Nittany Lions. How about that?
It sounds good to me. I cannot believe that Washington made it over them. Penn State beat two teams that are ranked higher than any team Washington played all year. Washington had the worst out-of-conference, well, not the worst maybe, but among the worst out-of-conference schedules in the country.
They had the second easiest out-of-conference schedule. Penn State's strength of schedule was number 7 in the country. So you tell me, what is the incentive of playing a real schedule if you're Penn State or any other team?
Exactly. I mean, it's just, and I think Franklin said it. He said, you have to control what you can control. So why would we do this? Why would we go up against a very difficult game against a Pitt team that wound up beating Clemson at Clemson?
Yep.
And also the Temple game. At the time, we always think, oh, it's Temple. Temple was really good.
And they both Temple and Pitt wound up ranked in the top 25.
Exactly. And they win by far this year the toughest conference in football.
Yep.
Conference with four top 10 teams. They beat a conference with Ohio State, with
toughest division. They won the toughest division, and they beat Ohio State head to head. Well, I mean, what more do you want on the resume?
Exactly, and I don't know. Part of me, and I hate to say it, part of me thinks that with everything that's gone on there is some.
Yeah, I can't go down that road. I just think that the committee looked at Penn State, and they didn't want to have two Big Ten teams in there. And I think that they looked at Washington and for whatever reason judged them to be a better team, even though their one quality win was against Colorado, who was ranked number 10 in the country. Both of Penn State's quality wins were two teams ranked in the top six, including Ohio State. Let's go to Kurt and Delco. Hey, Kurt, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
I'm great, Kurt. How are you?
So I just had a couple points that I wanted to say, but it's going to be about the Eagles.
Sure.
I was listening on what you guys were saying about Carson Wentz, and, I agree. He hasn't been playing great since the last couple of three games. But, in the beginning of the season, he was playing really well. I just think it's a multiple of issues. It's the line. It's not that great of a line. He doesn't really have anybody to throw it to.
Nobody's disputing that. But it's the way that he's missing. Like, if I don't have anybody to throw to in the pocket, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be dancing around and having happy feet. If I don't have anybody to throw to from the pocket, I don't know that I'm going to force it into double coverage. I'm going to throw it away, or I'm going to try to run and make a play with my legs. He's mobile enough to do that, but instead you have a guy who's dancing around back there, clearly uncomfortable, not trusting his offensive line, somebody who's not looking off defensive backs, rather staring down his target and his receiver, and he's forcing the ball into traffic, and you saw it yesterday where the wheels completely came off.
Yeah,
so these are mechanical regressions that Doug Peterson has overseen.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's fixing the issues down the field. Like, when he throws it down the field, it feels like every time he does it, it's an interception.
Yep.
So I don't get that part. But also, I wanted to say something about the tight ends. I mean, we just signed these guys, both of them, Selleck, Ertz. We just signed them, and they have, I think, a total of two touchdowns. Both from both of them with like 500 yards or something like that. Yeah, why aren't they more involved?
It's one of the great mysteries, Kurt, and thanks for the call. Zach Ertz has now been thrown to after yesterday. Three times he was targeted all year in the end zone. Gary in South Philly. Hey, Gary, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
I'm great, Gary. How are you?
Hey, I used to have some pretty good battles with you when you were on with Joe. We never agreed about anything. But I'm calling to give you your due tonight. You can love Carson Wentz. I do. I like him as a quarterback. I think he's going to be great in the future.
And he might be.
But as for now, he is playing horrible. Jaworski said this 5 weeks ago, that his mechanics, his footwork was off. He was throwing bad passes. And let me give everybody out there a clue. We're just supposed to keep talking about receivers. In that Green Bay Monday night game, the receivers dropped one pass. That was Jordan Matthews. That was Zach Ertz. That's the only pass the receivers dropped. Zach Ertz dropped one. And he went 24 for 36. He had 11 errant passes. When I went back and watched that, when I heard it, he was overthrowing guys left and right. He just didn't look good.
Yeah.
And he looked even worse yesterday. That doesn't mean he's not going to be good.
Right.
But
the risk that you have, though, is that if you don't get him a better supporting cast, or if you're Doug Peterson and Frank Reich and you don't coach away some of these mistakes, you can develop bad habits that can erode away the potential of him being an elite franchise quarterback, because it will snowball into bad habits becoming worse habits.
Hey, Matt, last week I called Mike and I told him my biggest fear was that this coach was going to ruin the guy as a quarterback. Because like in Dallas, they have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
they have an offensive line. Yeah, they got a running game. But you still have to run the ball. You got to protect.
Yeah, and that's, that same Dallas team was 1-11 without Tony Romo last year. That same Dallas team has a quarterback that's improving. They have a quarterback who's now going through his progressions and reading a defense. And the quarterback wearing midnight green isn't doing that right now. Brian in Mayfair. Hey, Brian, you're on the Fanatic.
Good show.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, do you think the Eagles are using Doug Peterson, like, to hold the plates like they did for McNabb, and then to get the real coach?
What an interesting theory. What an interesting theory. Who are you targeting there, Jim Harbaugh?
Yes, why not? Somebody. It's got to be somebody.
I don't think that he's a placeholder head coach. I think that they legitimately looked at Chip Kelly as being a anti-players coach, disciplinarian, up-tempo, innovative guy, and they went the safe route. Players head coach, all golly gee shucks and all that, who runs a conservative standard offense, and I think that they went with what they're comfortable with,
which is why
I don't think they're going to pull the plug.
Yeah, so McNabb's not coming in anytime soon, right? So you're telling me?
You think it's bad now. Imagine what Donovan McNabb would look like as a head coach.
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, Temple did great. Can people please stop comparing their win to Penn State's win? It's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Like,
actually happening?
Yeah. I know everybody on the radio station went to Temple, but my God.
They beat Navy. It's a nice win. Penn State won the toughest division in the toughest conference in football.
It's like the baby division. And, you know, like, everybody's complaining about everybody getting a trophy. Everybody other than the football gets a trophy now. You know?
Yeah, I don't want to take, Brian, thanks for the call. I don't want to take anything away from Temple, because beating Navy and winning a conference championship is something to be applauded. But I didn't realize people were comparing the win over Navy to beating Wisconsin in the Big Ten title. I don't even know that Harry was doing that. And he's Captain Temple. But if they are, well, enjoy the conference title on your trip back to Annapolis. Dan in Delaware. Hey, Dan, you're on the Fanatic.
Yeah, Peterson needs to go. This job is just too big for him. He needs to go back to the kiddie table. And I got to believe that Lurie is going to have to take a look at this. Now, I will never root against the Eagles. You know, I want them to win. Don't get me wrong. But it's obvious we're out of it. If this team, who has, they've all, about 90% of them have checked out, the veterans have quit. If this team continues to come out flat and lose in the fashion that they are losing, Lurie has to look at this and say, did I find the right guy?
Well, I think that what might ultimately become a little bit of a potentially fireable offense is what happened after Green Bay. And after Green Bay, when you said that, you know, we're looking towards next year and we're evaluating, when you still had five games to play, you're on the outside looking in at the playoffs, but it's not an impossibility at that point. When you turned the page with 5 weeks remaining, both publicly and privately, that is where, if there is anything that causes Doug Peterson's seat to warm up, that's going to be it.
Would you agree that 90% of these veterans have checked out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we saw that yesterday.
Now the worst part, or the worst fear for me as a Eagles fan, obviously, is Could this be the same thing that's happened in San Diego with Phillip Rivers' career, where we have year after year of, oh, we need this, or oh, but we need that, and coaching carousel, and next thing you know, it's 10, 11 years into this guy's career, and we wasted, you know, a possible good NFL quarterback to never get to the big game.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Dan, I think the better parallel might be Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. You pull all of your resources into one or two positions with a general manager who's just inept at building a complete roster, and you have an all-time talent who likely won't sniff a Super Bowl. I don't even know that Wentz is going to develop into a talent like Andrew Luck, but time will tell. That's it. We're done. We're just about out of time. Thanks to Devon Givens. Tremendous job, as always, behind the glass. We're going to hand it off momentarily to Nuggets and Sixers, and then I'm back with you Wednesday night from 7 to 11 and Friday 6 to 10. You can also read me all day, every day at nj.com/Eagles and follow me on Twitter at MattLombardo975. And before we get out of here, got to remind you, you know what time it is. It's my bookie time. Another great weekend of football is just about in the rear view. I mean, there were some great games in college. Penn State, Wisconsin, Temple, Navy, and the NFL action on Sunday left us with a lot to talk about here in Philadelphia. Go look at what's happening in New York right now and the game out there against Pittsburgh. I really hope you took my advice that we've been trying to give you all year long and you decided to go to mybookie.net and place your picks. You'd be sitting pretty right now. You'd be counting your winnings right now. And the best part is, if you did, there are still more winnings to be had, and if you didn't, there's still time. You still have the game tonight with Monday football, Indianapolis and New York. Who do you like? It's time to go to MyBookie and place your pick. All season long, you've heard me tell you, if you want to put your football knowledge to good use, if you want to take home some big wins, if you want to build up some side cash, then you need to go to MyBookie. Why not? MyBookie is the industry's leading website where thousands of guys go every week, every game to place their picks and win big. If you're new to placing your picks, then MyBookie is the place to go. It's super easy, it's super fast, and their service is the best you're going to find. They still have a game tonight, so don't wait around any longer. It's Indy and it's New York. So get in on the action. Sign up at MyBookie. Don't go anywhere else. Call 1-844-900-2387 or go online at MyBookie and open up your account. Go to MyBookie, use promo code Matt. That's promo code Matt. Sign up and start winning today only at MyBookie.